Barbara, you mail us a letter or a note.
Now, that brings something to mind. When we moved to our new house about 4 months ago, I changed the cable system. When I called in, I said, I'm not at this address anymore. I'm going to move to the new address. And they said, oh, by the way, would you like to have free something or other? And I said, well, it'd be free through up to the Super Bowl. I said, okay, go ahead, put it on there. If it doesn't cost me anything, put it on there. Well, it was supposed to have a lot of movies, a lot of good things. And one day I was watching some really good television on this one channel, and I liked it. Came home about 11 o'clock that night. It was still on a channel. Turned it on. Here was total frontal nudity. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The next morning I called the cable company. I said, that is off of my television.
Yeah.
I want it. See, I didn't procrastinate.
That's right. You didn't.
I don't want that temptation in my house. I don't want to have to clean out my mind every day because I saw something on the television that I shouldn't be watching.
That's right.
So don't procrastinate on those things. Take care of that. It's the same thing with the emails. You don't just procrastinate. You cut those things off. You trash it, put it in the trash part of that television script, and get rid of it.
Don't leave it laying around. Now, in the New Testament, Darren, we have got a scripture. Jesus came and was teaching his disciples in Luke 9. And I'd like to start at verse 57. And the heading right before verse 57 in Luke 9 is exacting discipleship. And Jesus here is really on the cutting edge. I mean, he is defining discipleship, and it is without procrastination. It truly is. He is talking about procrastination, not here with a word. Now, some of you don't get so judgmental here that you say, Barb, procrastination isn't in this verse. And some of you have. You have emailed us or something. That word isn't in the Bible. Well, like rapture, for instance. And there are a lot of you out there, you're stubborn. And that's another thing, procrastination. Stubbornness leads to procrastination when you're stubborn. So I want to tell some of you, stop being stubborn.
You know what that really does?
What?
It is a lot of people don't want to pay the price to know the truth.
Well, that's probably
and
true.
So you got to get in the Bible and find out what is the truth. And you have to also spend the time with Holy Spirit so he can speak to your hard head and get through to your heart with a message of understanding and compassion. And cutting yourself and everybody else a little slack.
That's right.
Don't be so pig-headed.
Well, here in Luke 9, verse 57, let's read this. And they were going along on the road. Someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, if you've ever been in the limelight, if you have ever had your 15 minutes of glory, there are going to be people that come up to you that say, oh, I want to do what you want to do. This is so exciting. They do not know the work and the effort that it takes to get where you went.
Wait a minute. You forgot one word there. Discipline.
And discipline.
The work, the effort, the discipline.
Discipline. Yes. And so Jesus says, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was telling this guy, he was saying, you know, it looks good on the outside, but I don't even have a place to sleep at night. So don't tell me you're going to go wherever I go or you want to go wherever I go. And then he said to another, follow me. But this guy said, permit me first to go and bury my father. Okay, Jesus, I'll go with you. I'll be your disciple. But first, I have to go and do this. And doesn't it look like a legitimate reason, Darren? I mean, he was saying, I've got to go bury my dad. My dad just died. But listen to what Jesus says to him. Allow the dead to bury their own dead. And as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God.
Okay, now let's put it in human terms, I'm in a family situation, but I'll tell you, Barbara, there are some things that people are involved with that are dead deals. And sometimes they make such a big to-do about that. And I say, now, in terms of eternal consequences, what difference does that make? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Jesus was saying in a sense. You know, if you look at it with a larger stroke of the brush, so to speak, and you stand back and look at this, he's saying, listen, let the dead take care of their dead. You're not going to change a thing by running home and burying your father.
That's right. And it's only, you know, you're doing it just for the people to make yourself look good in front of all your friends and relatives. And that was number two person here. But now number three person says, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Now that sounds good too, doesn't it? That sounds very...
I've got to have a going away
very
party.
Very honoring. And you know, yeah, I've got to have a party. I want to say goodbye to all my loved ones and friends. Listen to what Jesus says here. Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow, after going to work, after doing the thing that I told him to do, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Is fit for the kingdom of God, Darren. This is very serious.
You know, I think
procrastination.
Sometimes leadership doesn't bring people to accountability. And I will give you an example. I had 47 employees, and I had one man that was messing around, very honestly, with a multi-level at night and weekends that took a lot of his attention and energy. And I called him into my office one afternoon, and I said, listen, if you choose to do that, that's up to you. Then what I want you to do is just put your keys. He had a key to a company car and to the office. Just put your keys on the desk, and I know what your decision is.
Wow.
He came in the next day, and he said, well, I decided to, you know, cancel all those other interests. I said, you know something? You're one of my executives, and I need 100% of your focus and energy right here. That's what I'm paying you to do. I'm depending on you. But I can't if you come in here and you're all scattered.
That's right. That's so true.
Now, you see, I had to bring that man to accountability to stop procrastinating. Because he'd been putting it off, putting the decision off. I think real leadership, I watched the other night, we were watching a thing on Donald Trump. He brings people to accountability in his organization.
He certainly
does. I mean, like right now, make a decision.
Yes.
And he's looking for the bottom line profit. You know, us Christians need to do that more often.
That's right.
We need to be more profit-oriented and stop saying, it'll work out. Well, somehow it'll work out. You know something? Maybe it won't work out, and you'll end up losing. I have been there.
Mm.
I mean, I'm guilty of that, and I got into some of those things because I wouldn't be accountable. I put it off, and then it came back to bite me later on. And that's just part of our culture. We need to stop those things.
Well, here in this scripture, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, it reminds me of Lot's wife again, looking back, longing for the past, longing for the good old days, longing for when they had it good, and there wasn't so much risk involved maybe, or, you know, walking with Jesus in this day and age with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests at his neck must not have been a popularity, you know, contest. It truly wasn't. But Jesus said here, he's not fit for the kingdom. That's really something you need to think about and meditate on. Now, I'd like to go back to Matthew 25, Darren, and look into the 10 virgins. Here is a parable that Jesus told about the kingdom of heaven, and this is right before he was brought before Caiaphas and the Sadducees and before he was crucified. And he talked about the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. This is an important situation and an important thing going on here. They went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. Now, why did Jesus call these 5 foolish? Because they took no oil with them. They didn't make provision for their trip. They just took what they had in their lamp. What if you were in Australia or maybe in Death Valley or something? There were no gas stations. Now, this could have happened in the early 30s. There were no gas stations for 100 miles, and you had a quarter tank of gas. You would make provision, wouldn't you? You would fill the car up because you knew you needed that gas to make that trip.
Absolutely.
Well, these 5...
And if you didn't, you'd be walking.
These 5 virgins, they went to meet an important person, the bridegroom, but they only took what was in their lamps. They didn't take anything along in case their lamps needed to burn all night long or the celebration might need them. I wonder if they were depending on someone else to do it.
Now, what verses are you reading from?
I'm reading from the 3rd verse of chapter 25 of Matthew.
Chapter 25 of Matthew.
Yes, third verse.
I think sometimes, Barbara, we put things off that are so important. And what I find when I do that, there's a real energy drain because I worry about it.
Well, do you think that maybe when we're with a group of people, we depend on that group to provide instead of us being some of the provision? You know, it's like, Darren, we've seen it with Darren Live. There is a small minority of people that give and give diligently month by month. There are other people that are takers. They listen to the program. They even send emails, say, you're the best show. We've received so much from you. We have never received any contribution to help us with the show.